Welcome aboard this week's podcast of Dudes Dish Disney. Get ready for amazing attractions across America. Beer halls and bar rooms, banquets and beverages, a collection of characters and colleagues.
No cupcakes.
It's Dudes Dishing Disney. This episode of Dudes Dish Disney is sponsored by Magic Vacations. Magic Vacations. Discover the magic of travel. And now your host, the dudes of Dudes Dish Disney.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of Dudes Dish Disney. Joining us today is our producer and resident tech dude, Jonathan.
What's going on, guys?
Also joining us, please put your hands together for our co-host, Ryan. He is the number one Disney dude.
What's up, dudes?
And I'm Congo Carl, former Jungle Cruise skipper. You know the rest. What's up, dudes?
What's going on?
What's up, Carl?
I'll tell you what's up. We have a very special guest who really needs no introduction because she's a regular now on the podcast. Please welcome our own Nicole Rodway. Hi, Nicole.
How's it going?
What's up,
Hello,
Nicole?
Dudes. How's it going?
And, you know, Nicole's joining us because we're really excited because recently she got the red carpet treatment at Universal's Orlando's Resort. She took advantage of the VIP tour experience and was treated like a celebrity as she went all around Universal Orlando's Resort. And we brought her on to tell us all about it.
Absolutely. It was a great experience. So a lot of Universal last year, but the November trip with my oldest was over Veterans Day weekend. So kind of a busy time, and the holiday stuff was just coming out during that time, which was amazing to see. But she's my kiddo too, that will ride any ride and do all the things in a park. So I knew that she was going to want to go hard the whole time we were there. And just given the time of year and when I was planning, we ended up staying over at Cabana Bay, which is a lot of fun. Great place to stay, especially when you've got kids that love to swim and those types of things. But it does not come with Express Pass Unlimited. And I'm very spoiled and don't like waiting in long lines. So I definitely...
Can I just say something? You're not spoiled. Your kids are spoiled because you take each one on a trip to Universal, right? And so now you're customizing the trips based on their interest. I noticed when you post and vlog and everything on the various social media, you know, it's very specific to that child's particular interest, which I think it's a wonderful, you know, demonstration as a mom that you're doing. But this one, it's interesting. You picked this VIP trip because this your particular daughter fit the mold of what it was like to get this red carpet treatment.
Honestly, you know, Universal offers a couple of different ways to skip the lines. The Express Pass is what most folks go for. It comes with the premier hotels. It's something you can purchase as an add-on. But I started crunching some numbers and I realized that for us, it was a really smart move to go with the non-private VIP experience that they offer. And that means that we got mixed in with some other folks that we didn't know. Up to 12 people. We didn't have that many in our group. But they try to hit the highlights in the park. So they're going for the big thrill rides and that type of thing. My youngest isn't tall enough to ride any of that stuff. So it wouldn't have been a good fit for him. My middle's afraid of, she doesn't like coasters. She doesn't like a lot of those rides. It wouldn't have been a good fit for her. But the oldest is like, hey mom, can we ride Velocicoaster back to back to back? And wants to, you know, so it was a great fit for her. Plus, now she's gotten quite spoiled and is really into this, like, I will be treated great when I go to the parks and I will skip all the lines and all that. But it was just a fabulous fit for us. And on a busy weekend, it gave us the opportunity to take our short trip and experience everything that we knew we wanted to experience. Plus, one of the fun things about the VIP tour, dudes, is that's the only way that you can skip the line for Hagrid's at Universal. It doesn't have Express Pass. You got to take a VIP tour, whether it's the private tour where you design your whole day and your whole itinerary, or it's the non-private. So you got to skip the line for Hagrid's when you can, right? So that was definitely another thing that appealed to me about this experience. It was a great, you know, great beginning to end. And, you know, I can walk you through the whole day if you want me to.
I think we should. Let's start in the morning, right? Because the package not only includes this wonderful tour guide and this advantages of skipping the lines, but, you know, they're feeding you.
They do. They feed you pretty well. And honestly, when you start thinking about the overall cost of the tour and that kind of thing, you have to remember that there's some of these other perks that fit in. So we were on the 9:30 tour. Generally speaking, when you book the tour, and this is something that your MVP can book for you, we have access and ability to do that. Most of the time, the option that it kind of automatically goes with is the tour that begins at 10 a.m. that has a 9:30 in the morning check-in. There's some later tours too, if you know you're the type that wants to sleep in, but it automatically goes to this one. So we had a 9:30 check-in, and essentially you actually enter the park in a different way. You go to an area that's just outside the main gate for Universal Studios Hollywood. And they have this banner out that says VIP. So as soon as you even walk up, you already are starting to, you know, look around like, hey, that's right. That sign's for me, guys, right? You walk in, they take your information, and they give you hand sanitizer and sunscreen in case you forgot. So they're already looking out for some of those things. And that may not be a big deal to some people, but some of you may know how badly myself and Michelle, who's been on the show a couple times, got made fun of for traveling without our children and forgetting sunscreen and just burning to an absolute crisp.
You have no idea what you're talking about, Nicole. No idea.
So it was really nice that, you know, somebody was looking out for our fair-skinned folks as we went in. And then they escorted us down to our breakfast. So breakfast is down the way at Cafe La Bamba. Great breakfast buffet set up. They check in and they actually seat you for these non-private tours with somebody else who's going to be in your group that day. I think some people probably like that. I was all socially awkward. Like, I don't know these people. Now I got to eat. But that was okay. You get
Wait
to
a
know
minute.
Them pretty
so
quickly.
So you socially awkward? You were just on a monorail crawl with 36 of people that half of them you didn't know and you were not
but I knew the other half and there Let's were my honest. Patients
it was like 3/4 that she knew right
it was, yeah
it was right. I insulated myself with people I knew. It was, you know, it's just like, hi, good morning, you haven't had coffee yet, here are some strangers you're spending the day with.
So the breakfast the was alcohol fueled, Carl. Like, that helped, yeah, right? That
they
helped
didn't
open up the social awkwardness. They're not giving away 8 Mai Tais to start your day at
there were 0. Yeah so the booze but wasn't included.
She did have free tour guides to help her around, so you know.
I did we had the best tour guide. That was you.
You. All right. So getting back to the VIP tour.
VIP tour did not come with 3 dudes.
No. But let me ask you this.
That'd be weird.
You started off with breakfast there, right? And you did the breakfast buffet.
Yep.
I've heard rumors. Is this buttermilk biscuit sandwich all that it's cracked up to be? Did anyone try it? I heard this whole thing that it was like a thing. Is that true or not?
Somebody may have tried it, but nobody at our table did.
Okay. Okay. So there's no confirmation of the rumor there. I've heard.
I cannot confirm or deny. Okay. I'm sorry to say. If I had only known that that's what I was supposed to have, I would have done that for you, Carl. It's some lovely eggs. It was great. Fresh fruit.
Grandpa needs the buttermilk.
I thought he was going for buttermilk pancakes. I was like, that I could get into.
Right.
But they, you know, you finish up your breakfast. The tour guide came around during breakfast, introduced herself to us, asked people, you know, I'm going to do my best to hit some highlights with you today. What are the things that you're most interested in doing? Can't promise you anything, but, you know, they try to fit some of what people are looking for. Gave us a time to meet out front, And so we had our breakfast. They leave bottles of water for you on the tables that you can take with you out into the park. And again, something that may not seem like a huge deal, but they're like $6 bottles of water at Universal Orlando. So, you know, you have that to start the day. We went out front, met the rest of our group. So our group was an interesting mix of people. There was myself and my daughter. She was the youngest on the tour. She was 13 at the time. And then the mom and her sons. There was a couple from Georgia, probably in their late 20s, early 30s. They were quite quiet. And then we had an older couple on scooters with us. They were like, I'm not going to lie. When I first saw that, I was like, how is this going to work? But they were probably the most fun people on the entire tour. Basically, the wife loves doing rides, loves most thrill rides. She didn't do Velocicoaster, but she did most other things. And her husband just has had too many back surgeries. He couldn't do them, but he wants her to be able to do the rides. She didn't want him to have to wait, endless amounts of time while she rode things. He didn't want her to have to go alone. They didn't want to hold up the group, so they rented scooters, and away we went. They were fabulous. So here's our motley crew. and we took off just about 10 o'clock in the morning and made our way to Gringotts. So we started our day with Escape from Gringotts.
It's a great place to start your day. I mean, honestly, that especially after breakfast, that'll get you going real fast.
It gets you pumped up. It's a little walk over there. It's not a long walk over there, but it's a little bit. And one of the nice things too with the VIP tour, if you have a backpack or anything with you for some of these rides, and you're a guest who's using the regular queue or you have express pass, you need to show up to the ride and go put your bag in a locker. So it's time consuming. It's not always fun to try to weave your way in and out of there. With a VIP tour, your tour guide will hold bags for you while you ride. So again, it just helps speed up your day. You're able to get more done. You don't have to mess with a locker. In our case, our friendly older gentleman on the scooter was just like, pile in the basket here. I got it, you guys. That was his way of feeling like he was part of the group. So it was great. So, you know, we literally go right to Gringotts and are able to bypass the line to get in. Do you guys know the most common way that they bypass the lines?
When Gringotts, they backdoor you in, don't they?
Yeah, because most of them, they bring you in the exit.
Right.
And which is, I think
you missed the pre-show. You miss all the pre-show.
Well, we got the pre-show. You go in through part of, you go in the exit, and then there's all sorts of doors and stuff inside. So you see some backstage areas. But for most of the things that you skip the line on, they bring you through at least part of the exit, the guide gives you this buffer where you really feel like a VIP because you're going the wrong way with all these people who are like, hey, who are those guys that get to come in this, you know, one-way street? But then internally, there's a lot of little hallways and things that connect. If you think about how the cast members are going to be moving around and changing out roles and that kind of thing in the ride, that's where they bring the VIP through. So for some of the rides, you're going to go in the exit and go through these little hallways and end up boarding or going to the pre-show boarding the same way as other passengers, and some they board you from a different area as well. But that was pretty cool. So we went in through Gringotts and we were able to experience that ride, and then made our way to the Hogwarts Express, and it wasn't even 10:30 yet. You know, we were just already plowing through the day.
Nicole, as you're being entered through the back, right? As you're coming through the back door entrance and you're going through these backstage areas, are they giving you any like, hey, this is where we do this and this is where we do that? Or is it just like, follow me and rush over to the front of the line?
Some, they give you a little bit more backstory or information, or point out various like kind of Easter egg things that are there. So some of the newer rides that replaced older rides, there's little nods to them hidden in the hallways or that kind of thing, small references that are throughout those. And they definitely would point some of that stuff out. There's other times that you're going through and they need you to move through those areas pretty quickly. And so it's more of a like, okay, come on, get over here, get over here, get over here. So it really did depend on the ride that you were going through. But prior to entering, whatever direction or whatever way that you went into an attraction, they would stop and give you a little bit of background information about the attraction. And also, I mean, for myself and for my daughter, we had already ridden these attractions multiple times in the past. We knew what to expect. They would give a little preview of the attraction for those who might not be familiar with it. And, you know, our tour guide did it in a, I thought, a particularly great way of just her way of storytelling. Like, all right, we're here at Gringotts to open an account. And not that he who shall not be named would show up, but if he did, you might, you know, kind of walk through the sequence of the ride with people and give them a sense of how fast does it go? What's the acceleration? Are there drops? Do you go upside down? Is it dark? All of those kinds of things they would give you as you went in. So that was all really good information to have. Some of the rides were, like I said, you go in and it's a really different experience because of how you're accessing the ride. But things like the Hogwarts Express, you just waited separately and boarded the separate train car, right? It was the same experience as you would typically have, just went a little bit faster. Definitely cool to hear somebody who knew more of the history talk about the rides. And I don't know how much everybody who was on the tour got out of that, but for somebody like myself, who's been to Universal, who sells Universal, who's interested in some of these attractions, I definitely was soaking those types of things in, right? So,
I think it adds to the VIP feel, right? Even if you're not super into it, right? Like, you get to learn all this stuff that not everybody else gets to learn. So I think that's super cool.
It really was. And, you know, those moments where you obviously, yes, you go to the front of the line, but you still have to wait, right? You have to wait for whomever was on the ride prior to you to finish and to get off the ride. So even in those moments, it was really interesting to hear about what was going on. You know, we did VelociCoaster a little bit later in the day. So we did Gringotts and then rode the Hogwarts Express over to Islands of Adventure and did Hagrid's. Fabulous. And we did Forbidden Journey. And then we did VelociCoaster. So when you board VelociCoaster, there's the boarding area and then there's kind of the an elevated area just beyond that, where they've got the control room and those types of things. And while the ride was down, we had to move out of the way. So we stood up there for a bit. We got to hear some of the conversations that were going on as they were addressing the technical issues with the ride, which is kind of a, I mean, you never want a ride to go down, but it's kind of cool to see that behind the scenes, like this is how we handle the problem, so on and so forth. And then you actually, you board from the opposite side with VelociCoaster. So you step outside and you walk along this exterior walkway that goes by the track. So you get to see the track in a different way, which was kind of cool, and loop around to board. And then we got to see the process of them testing the ride again prior to the next group boarding. Now, I'm not going to lie, knowing that you were the group that was boarding right after VelociCoaster was down for a technical difficulty really added to the thrill of the ride. I'm like,
okay. Especially on the top hat, you're wondering, okay.
Please don't die again. Please don't die again.
This is where my life comes to an end. This was an amazing VIP tour. Thank you, Sarah.
The adrenaline rush was really magnified there. Got my money's worth. But it was really neat to see that process and to just see like those areas of track. I mean, I think probably all of us and most people who go to Universal now have had the experience of standing on the bridge where VelociCoaster goes overhead and watching the ride go. And that's all very, very impressive, but you're still quite a distance from the actual track and really understanding the size and scope of everything that's there. And when you walk out on this, you know, little, just a little narrow kind of catwalk external walkway, and you're going, wow, look at the diameter of that. Look at, you know, look at what's going around. You have even more appreciation, or at least I think a lot of people do, of the engineering that goes into these rides and the design and the intricacy of the whole thing. And it does sometimes help. It helped a little bit to know, okay, may have gone down, but it looks very sturdy. So I think we're going to be okay. And that was a great experience. And to me, that added to it.
I'm curious. You said that they gave you suntan lotion and they gave you hand sanitizer. Did they give you Dramamine for Forbidden Journey?
I know Forbidden Journey is just right up there, especially on Carl's list, right?
No, it's fine by me. It's Ryan. That's
me. I can't do Forbidden Journey.
I know you. You hate it. I thought Carl didn't like being bounced around by.
Well, Carl also does not enjoy it, but I'm the one who just can't flat out do it. Carl will do it once.
Yeah.
And then that's it. I just won't even do it at all.
No Dramamine.
Who likes those type of rides that literally hurt the hell out of your back. So.
Well, I'm more worried about getting off and not being able to walk in a straight line afterwards and then throwing
it. Well, I mean, it's on a conveyor belt. You're going to be fine. You're going to get out of there. They just clear the bodies out. No, I went on, this wasn't on the VIP tour, but I don't know if I've ever told you, the time that I ended up on Forbidden Journey in a seat full of change. So somebody had not emptied their pockets, right? And this is a continuous loading ride. Like, you are told, get in that seat, and you got to get in that seat. And as I sat down, I realized I was sitting on something, but the bar had already come down. I'm like, well, whatever. It's change. It's just somebody's pocket change that fell out. We got to the part by the Whomping Willow where it tilts you back. I got assaulted with somebody's pocket change. I was with my middle daughter on that trip, and she's like, what's wrong? I'm like, it hurts.
It's like an alien got you.
So, I mean, but that's the worst that I've had on Forbidden Journey. Thankfully, the motion doesn't bother me. They did not hand out Dramamine, but I'm sure that if somebody said to the tour guide you needed some, that it would magically appear within a matter of moments. They were very, very good about stuff like that. But, you know, maybe we could put that into the comment. You get a little survey at the end of the tour, or once you get home in your email, that I suppose Dramamine could be a suggestion for future tours.
Or just skip Forbidden Journey altogether. Like,
you do have that option, right? Oh, so good. For any of the things, you know, you have the option not to ride. The non-riders would wait together. And it really isn't a super long wait, because the people who are riding are going in and boarding almost immediately and then coming back off the ride. Like I said, we had the older couple with a gentleman who didn't ride most things. He actually loved Gringotts. He did Gringotts, but he did not do Forbidden Journey. Obviously, he has back issues. That would have been a bad choice for him. But somebody would always wait with him, or he'd wait with the guy. They'd have a conversation. If something was available that might have been shorter, she gave him the option to do that. He was really just happy to hang out. But certainly there were other options. There was another tour that was near ours, or that we kept kind of running into, with a younger child. And for example, when that tour group was doing Hulk, they took her on the, what is it, Storm Force Accelerator. I don't know if that's any better, but she was tall enough to ride it. Yeah, to spin. So they do some of that. Certainly on a private tour, you could custom tailor all of that. On the non-private, we're hitting the highlights and the tour guide determines the itinerary. That said, if the majority of us were like, we're not going to ride that, for example, Rip Ride Rocket, there were only a couple of us who were like, we'll ride it. So we skipped that because the majority of the group would have sat it out anyway. So, I mean, they do kind of adjust in that regard, but good. Yeah.
So how far, everything you described so far, how far did that take you to the day? Are you like halfway through your day or now pretty much?
We're almost. Yeah, we did Velocicoaster and then we went over to Spider-Man.
Okay.
Got some background on Spider-Man and some of the awards and such that it won when it was first developed. It was really cutting edge technology at the time it came out. And then Hulk. Hulk was our last ride or last experience prior to lunch. So if you figure between 10 a.m. and lunchtime, which was about 12:30 when we checked into the restaurant, we did Gringotts, the Hogwarts Express, Hagrid's, Forbidden Journey, Velocicoaster, Spider-Man, and Hulk. Pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good, you know. And they brought us lunch. Lunch, if you read the official description of the package, right, the VIP package just says at one of our table service restaurants. Most often it's at Finnegan's Bar and Grill. Kind of because of the location, it makes sense. And I would say my editorial view on it is probably also because of the popularity of that restaurant, in that it's not popular. So it's not as crowded. Obviously, they know how many VIPs they're going to have coming in. They had tables ready for us. So we went in inside the restaurant. Our tour guide said, you know, my group is here. It's, you know, this group, this group, this group. And they just called us and sat us. We got very lucky. We had a phenomenal server. And she told us, like, right at the beginning, you know, it's a three-course meal. If you want a dessert other than this, like predetermined dessert that isn't that good, order it now so we can have the kitchen have it ready, because otherwise they say that they don't have enough time before we have to get you back out to your tour. So she told us that, which was awesome, because we actually got to order something off the menu. You get an appetizer to share for the two people. Finnegan's wasn't always the option, wasn't always the one that they used. They used, I mean, you're not going to go to Mythos. It's too popular. But there are other options that are available. Our tour guide was telling us that at one point they were taking folks out into City Walk to places like the Hard Rock Cafe for their meal. And I mean, that's the largest Hard Rock Cafe in the world. Literally, like, that's not an exaggeration. It's the largest in the world. So you're going to have seating for the VIP folks that are coming in. That's honestly, that's the only thing there's two things, but I'll get to the other one in a minute. And it's not, neither are an end of the world kind of thing. Again, our meal was okay, but I had like a chicken sandwich and Abby had chicken tenders. They gave her an adult portion of the kids' meal. It's not like we had some sort of elaborate meal. I think that they could do better for a VIP experience, but
to put it in perspective, I think Universal, other than Mythos, right, their restaurants in the parks, I think they're theme park restaurants, you know, and if you go in expecting more than a theme park restaurant, maybe that's on you, right? Because you are in a theme park after all, you know, and that's important, right? So, I mean, I know I've eaten in like Confisco Grill and it's fine. It's the same thing, right? If you stick to your basics, then you get a good meal. If you try to go with something crazy, right? Like you're taking a risk, you know, you're taking a risk, and that's just what it is.
I agree. I will say that honestly, some of the best food that I've had in Universal within the parks, other than Mythos, is at the Minion Cafe, which is one of their quick service, but like, it's pretty good food. It's better than you would expect. I honestly think I would have preferred that to Finnegan's, but that's okay. You know, it is what it is. However, I get why people could look at it and say, what the hell are you doing for this price point?
Yeah. Right? You also need to give people time to sit, right? And that's part of that too, is that like, you have this experience and you get this fast lane through everything, right? And the nice part about that is you get time to get off your feet for a little bit and rest, because not everybody's got a scooter, you know.
I wish I had one. That was a good way to do it.
He owns
one. I know, I've wanted to race him, but he keeps saying no. No, I mean, it was an hour. They sat us down and we were meeting back up an hour later. They say, hey, if you're not quite done yet, it's fine, just whatever. But obviously you don't want to hold an entire group up for 15 or 20 minutes because you're finishing your meal. So that is kind of a piece of it. I will say that what we did after lunch was one of my favorite things, is they took us backstage. We went out and looked at the sound stages. We toured some of the offices that they use. There's actually a theater within one of the buildings where they'll show trailers for upcoming movies and that kind of thing, and sometimes get feedback from VIP groups that are going through. There were actual executives in there on our particular tour, so we did not go in and have a preview, but it's great. Like, there's posters and different things. They talk about things that were shot on location at Universal and all sorts of things. So that gives you another opportunity. You're still walking around, but it's a slower pace and you can digest. You're not riding an intense thrill ride right after you had a three-course lunch, regardless of what the quality of the lunch was. And that was really neat going through. And so for those who don't know, Universal actually tells folks who are filming, whether it's movies, music videos, whatever, you're welcome to use these stages and some of the park, right? Like some of the city backdrops in New York and in San Francisco and stuff are used in films. But there's a couple rules. One is you have to allow our park guests, our public who's coming through, to see what you're doing. Obviously, you can rope it off so they're not walking on your set, but they have to be able to see what's going on. And whatever you destroy, and they're allowed to destroy stuff, you have to repair back to its original condition. So it was really neat touring the buildings and seeing some of the photographs and different things of what various groups have done over the years in some of those areas, how they've punched holes in the sides of buildings and then got back and repaired them. And those were all constructed to be able to do that, right? It's different than going, you know, into the city of San Francisco and slamming an 18-wheeler into a brick building. That this is just, it's fake, guys, right? And it's part of telling and showing the movies, which is what Universal is about in its roots, is it's not hiding that there's a show going on and that there's production going on. It's a part of who they are. It's a part of that
brand. Yeah, California so, obviously is does
much more so
well, and it you can see live action going on, and you never know on the tram tour what you're going to see, right, for that reason. And you're right, they did, when they built Orlando, they did build all hot sets so they could do them. It's just, you know, Central Florida never became the movie mecca that they would hoped it had. And that was both Universal's plans and Disney's plans when they came out of the studios, but then it just dwindled off. But I've been there when they've been filming stuff, and it is interesting to see, right, that, you know, what they're doing. And if you could take a few minutes to watch them, it does. So I can imagine backstage would be even more exciting. When you were backstage, did they give you any peeks into the future or past on Halloween Horror Nights?
Not much on Halloween Horror Nights. So we were there in November, and they had finished up Halloween Horror Nights for the year, and they were getting everything out. The parks were decorated and such for the holidays, but they hadn't started the official holiday celebration yet.
Right.
So as you were walking around backstage, you're seeing like everything that was literally being staged, being set up to go out and decorate the parks, like how it was labeled, where all the pieces were, the pieces that are identical, you know, that you'd see everywhere. We got a peek at that was just out in the open because they were actively doing it. But in some of the other areas that we passed by, you could see the crates that were labeled for some of the other special events throughout the year, whether they were Halloween Horror Nights or Mardi Gras or those types of things. The smaller things are stored kind of in the area that we passed through, but they do have, we saw it when we went when we were in the parade, we were on the float, that they kind of just have that area where the larger stuff lives year round.
So how did you conclude the tour? How do you wrap things up?
So we basically went through all of that, and they brought us back out over by in the streets of New York, over by Fallon, the Jimmy Fallon ride. And so we went and we rode that one, and then kind of got our last major backstage look. Is that building has the ride or the show. I mean, it kind of is on its...
Yep.
The moving floor type deal, so it's more stationary, but there are offices in that building where if the NBC execs and that kind of thing are coming in, they have some of their meetings. The theme park executives have some of their meetings and that kind of thing there. And so we got to go up through that area and then out onto this beautiful patio that overlooks, just you could see all the Minion stuff. You've got Rip Ride Rocket there. You're overlooking the stage where concerts are held during some of the special events. Just a fabulous spot where apparently the executives will lunch and relax or whatever when they're meeting, but it was neat to be able to go out there. And that was one of the only backstage, or the only backstage area, where they told us we could take photographs. Because typically when you're backstage, whether it's Disney, Universal, wherever, you're not allowed to take any photographs. You're not allowed to record anything. But in this instance, we were allowed to use our own devices to take pictures. So it's pretty cool to have these photographs with all of, you know, Universal Studios Florida in the background like that. Made our way back down through. Oh, Hashtag said hi to us too. I know how you feel about Fallon, but Hashtag's really a fun panda. It's this guy. As pandas go, he was a good time. So we went down, left Fallon. And so now we're back over in the studio side, right? Which is where we had started the day. And we did the Mummy next. I love the Mummy, first of all, as a ride. I think that it is totally underrated. People don't give it enough credit. I think it's just a great ride in general.
John, have you ridden the Mummy?
No comment. We all know the answer to that one, which still? Is a no. It's not because I haven't wanted to. I've always run out of time.
One day he'll be a grown up.
We're rope dropping Mummy.
All right.
You run out of time? Like,
I know that I've been to Universal with you at least twice at this point. So I don't know how you haven't made time for this yet.
The first time I wasn't with you, though. So that time doesn't count.
I mean, whatever. You've been there twice.
I've been there more than twice, but okay.
It's okay. He's just sad that Figment's not involved. That's really all.
Well, I mean, they have Cat in the Hat. It's kind of...
It's close. No. Seuss Trolley really is not. right up
Seuss Trolley, yeah. Landon would have a blast with you. I mean, even Izzy's done Mummy.
Hey, it's okay. It's not quite Tower of Terror, but it's up there.
It's, you know.
4-year-old jokes. All right, let's go.
Love the Mummy. Great grand finale is the Mummy. And then you had more free time in the park if you wanted.
No, we kept going. We weren't done yet. We went from the Mummy over to Fast and Furious, which I had ridden once before and thought, I'm never going to ride this again. It's awful, but... You know, we didn't have to wait in line, so I rode it again. I don't like that ride in particular. I just think that there's not much to it. But we did Fast and Furious and made our way to Men in Black. So the only other thing is some of the VIP tours, or most of them, when they do the Men in Black attraction, actually go into like the office and you get to kind of do some of that.
Yeah.
And which you can... talk to your MVP about,
cast member to do that, even if you're not on
right it. Exactly. That's what I was saying. You can ask your MVP to talk to you about how you could get to do that even if you weren't on a VIP tour. But we were starting to run a little bit short on time because we had some downtime earlier in the day, and then we got one. See, this the other thing about I guess it would happen probably if it was just a private VIP tour group, is we get into after lunch and it's like, okay, we did the backstage tour and now like 2 or 3 people have to use the restroom. And then we did the Mummy and another 2 or 3 people have to use the restroom. And then we did Fast and Furious and the last group, you know, so all of that does hold you up over time. Anyway, we didn't have time to stop and see the office stuff in detail in Men in Black, which I was kind of sad about. Nobody else was, because they didn't even know it was a thing. So, you know, again, it's all perception. I was excited for that. They did tell us some of the cheats to get your score up real high. I'm not going to share those because I want to beat you if we ever ride it again. We went from Men in Black over to the very nostalgic E.T., which I love. Everybody rode that. It was nice. It was a nice thing to do as a group towards the end of the day. And then they brought us in for the Bourne stunt show and made sure that we got to enter the theater first. It was kind of the VIPs and the folks with that needed the handicap accessible seating went in, and then they opened the doors for the general group. So we got, you know, great seats for the show, bid our tour guide, you know, farewell, have a great day. And we ended our day with the Bourne stunt show and still then had the balance of the day Your VIP pass turns into an express pass when your tour is over. So anything that we didn't get to do or anything we wanted to do again, we could go do with an express pass. It also turns into a 10% off coupon for all shopping around the resorts.
Carl doesn't care about shopping.
He doesn't, but you know what? My family enjoyed their souvenirs that I got for 10% off. Because if I don't come home with chocolate frogs, there could be a riot. So you go, you know, and you round some of that stuff up. Or even, you know, we had the water given to us in the morning and a bottle of water to take on the road after lunch. But, you know, by the evening, even stopping and getting a soda or a bottle of water in one of the gift shops was 10% off. So, you know, why not?
Why not? So you wrapped it up. So let me do, we talked about this VIP tour expense. What's the differences in your opinion that you could see versus the private VIP tour experience?
Yeah, I mean, so our tour guide did track how much wait time we saved, which was over 6 hours if we had done the standby waits. But we went on the rides that she determined kind of fit the group need the best, the dynamic the best, the things people wanted to do. Obviously, everybody, for example, wanted to do Hagrid's. I'm sure that on a private tour, it would be similar. In terms of Hagrid's anyway, but the private tour, that tour guide is going to customize the itinerary to your group, to the things that you want to do. And I did talk with our guide a little bit about it when we were waiting for the Bourne show to start at the end of the day. And we actually started off by joking around about Pterodon flyers. Because there's two rides, right, at Universal that you can't use Express Pass for, Hagrid's and Pterodon Flyers. And even the private VIP tours are limited a little bit with that. They can't, for example, take you on Hagrid's like 6 times in a row because it would just artificially increase the wait time too much for other people. They also cannot go on Pterodon Flyers an unlimited amount of time because that is the world's slowest ride to load. They're not allowed to take the non-private groups at all on that particular, not that you would necessarily, not that you'd want to. I mean, we really began by talking about joking about this, but that's not allowed. Private, it could be if you had a kid who desperately wanted to do it, but they couldn't do it multiple times. Most rides you could do more than once if you wanted to. You could focus on, you know, only the rides that were suitable for somebody who is 36 inches and under. If you have little, you know, a group of little kids, you tailor that itinerary to exactly what you want to do. The other thing with a private tour is when it comes to the lunch, you get to select the restaurant from a list of several choices. So you're not at Finnegan's. You're at wherever you want to be. If you want to take an hour and 20 minutes, if you want to take an hour and a half, you can do that and get a little bit more time off your feet, get a little bit more time to rest. We were there in November. It wasn't super hot. It was also cloudy most of the day. So we weren't overheating. We weren't melting. If you were doing it in August, you're moving. It's a lot of walking to get between these places. I'm sure that it would feel great to have a lunch that was more than an hour and have a chance to cool off and whatever. So that's a really nice thing about the private tour as well. The other thing is just the number of people. If the non-private tours are for a maximum of 12 people, if you have a group of 6 or more, they don't let you book a non-private tour. Because your group would then basically be the majority, right? So they consider it having a kind of an unfair influence over what the group does for the day. So the largest group of people that you can take on a non-private tour is, you know, your party of 5, and then there could still be 7 additional people. A private tour is all your people, right? So if you are a larger family or a larger group, maybe, you know, a couple of families traveling together or a multi-generational group where you've got 8 or 10 people, you're going to need to do a private tour in order to accommodate everybody together. Otherwise, you could potentially, you know, my family of five could book a tour for 10 a.m. and our neighbors that might travel with us who are a family of four could book a tour at 10 a.m. but we're not going to be on the same tour with the same tour guide. So you're not spending that day together, right? The only way that you can ensure that you're spending time with that larger group is with a private tour. So definitely, they also get dinner. The private tours get the breakfast, a lunch, and a dinner. So there's an additional meal. And I mean, that's nothing to sneeze at. You can easily spend $50 a person on a meal without trying too hard. So certainly something else to consider. Or if you have kids like mine who are scared of all the good rides, you might want to go for a private tour so that there's things that they enjoy.
Now, I know, Nicole, you've done some heavy analysis here and what it was and everything. So, you know, at a high level, share with us a little bit, you know, comparatively, the advantages and disadvantages of trying to do this as best you can with an unlimited express pass versus taking this tour, and just kind of give us an idea of the pros and cons of that.
Well, I mean, so the thing to keep in mind with your express pass unlimited, right, is if you want to ride Hagrid's, you're waiting for Hagrid's. And that could take up a chunk of your day. There's times that wait time really climbs. There are some ways to predict that, you know, if you rope drop it or if you go later in the evening, your wait time might be a little bit less, but you're waiting. Even if you're a single rider and you cut down on the wait time by doing that, you're waiting. I think it's few and far between that you've ever heard somebody walking on Hagrid's, right? So you know that you're giving a piece of your day to that regardless if you go with Express Pass Unlimited. You're also going to be providing for your breakfast. You're going to be providing for your lunch. You're going to be providing your water and such throughout the day. And you're going to need to think about the time that you spend when you're going on rides like Ringotts, Hagrid's, Forbidden Journey, Velocicoaster, Hulk, trying to look through all of them again, where you have to go to a locker first with all of your stuff and then go claim it again afterwards. That's time, that's hassle, and so on that you have to think about in your day. So, you know, you kind of see how the VIP tour edges things out. And even though dollar for dollar, you might pay a little bit more for the VIP tour, at the end of the day, it starts paying for itself if you factor in the cost of breakfast, you factor in the cost of lunch, water, the time that you would have invested. The other thing, our tour guide went and got all of our ride photos for us. And then at the end of the day, gave us the QR code to the photo company that Universal uses to be able to access and download those photos. If you wanted to have ride photos on your own, you would either be purchasing them a la carte or you would get a 1-day photo package. Or if you're staying multiple days, perhaps multiple days, but just a single day photo package can run just south of $100 for the day. So you think about, there's a lot that builds it in that makes the value kind of worth it. The other piece is, for someone like me who knows Universal really well, I loved the little bits and pieces, the things that I learned while I was on tour. If I had never been to Universal in my life, I would have learned how to navigate the parks. And if you're going for 3, 4, 5 days and you do a tour one of your first days, you're going to learn your way around. You're going to learn how to maximize your time. You're going to learn, you know, they pointed out different things that were going on in different shops. The Holiday Tribute store was open. We didn't go in it as a group, but a couple of little Easter eggs that were hidden in there, you know, go in and look for, you can find the, for example, in the Whoville area, you can find the Grinch's mailbox from both sides of this display. That it was kind of a neat reference to why the Grinch was Grinchy, because he didn't get any mail. But like little things you might not look for on your own were pointed out to you that are cool for somebody who's been multiple times, because we like finding those little things, but really are even more magical to people who haven't been before and are like, what, they thought of that? You know, it's it's those kinds of cool things. I think that, honestly, I would 100% do the VIP tour again. I think the value is there most of the time, much like Express Pass, much like tickets at Universal, there's dynamic pricing. So if you go on a super slow day, you know, it's going to be less expensive than if you go peak season. But for, I think, most days of the year, certainly when it's busy, this is a fabulous way to experience the parks. And I would highly recommend it. I would, you know, I would recommend anybody who is going to Universal and either staying off property or staying in one of the hotels that does not come with Express Pass to really talk to your MVP, your travel planner, to do a cost analysis, go through and say, this is what Express Pass is cost, you know, costing for the day you're looking to use it. And this is what the tour costs for the day that you're looking to use it, but comes with X, Y, and Z added in. And at the end of the day, you very well may find that you come out ahead, paying a little bit more up front for the VIP tour than you would be putting it together on the back end using your Express Pass.
Excellent, Nicole. Dudes, any final questions for Nicole as she wraps up her synopsis of the red carpet treatment?
I'm going to put you on the spot, Nicole. What is the single one most favorite thing that you learned backstage? What is the single thing that you learned backstage that you love the most?
That's really tough. Yeah, I'm like the person who you say, like, what's your favorite movie? And I'm like, oh, it really just depends on like my mood that day, right? Because I absolutely loved hearing about going through and touring things like we entered the Bourne stunt show through kind of this back hallway, and there were pictures and names of rooms that referenced what was there prior. I love that stuff. I think that's so interesting. Whoa. Came alive. So interesting, so cool that they thought of these things, right? They take these things into account. We had a conversation at one point when we were looking at the parks overall from that, actually the area from Fallon, and just talking about looking at the skyline and how it's changed over time and how the park has developed and getting nostalgic about the rides that used to be there. And the ways that they're all kind of hidden in. I like that Easter egg kind of thing, but it's also pretty freaking cool to walk behind and be like, that's where, when they filmed an episode of The Tonight Show that had an elephant in it, that's the stage where they had the elephant. They couldn't film it in New York like they wanted to because the elephant wouldn't fit anywhere. It's one of the only episodes that was filmed someplace other than the studios in New York. Like, that's kind of cool. And how did you get the elephant back here? Like, can we stop and talk about the other logistics of it doesn't just fit here? Or what are some of the things that have been filmed there? You know, one of the Sharknado movies was filmed there, and our tour guide was talking about how hilarious it was that it was filmed on, obviously we know that's not like the highest quality cinema, right? But it was filmed on site. It was set in the park, and they still got things wrong with like how the rides operate and with the rides involved. Like, how do you screw that up when you're there? Like, you're literally there living it. I love that kind of thing, right? Those are the stories that you don't hear or experience anywhere other than connecting with somebody in the know, whether it's somebody who's a historian of the parks or someone who's a tour guide or whatever it might be. But like, those are the pieces that make you kind of just like stop and smile and chuckle and be like, there's more to this than just rides and snacks, which are awesome. But like, it makes it feel substantive. You know, there's something, yeah. There's substance to it.
That's why I like touring the parks with Carl. I think it goes to show, though, it goes to say, like, you know, really in just a few minutes, I asked you for one thing and you couldn't pick. You had four or five right off the top of your head, right? And I know you. I know how much that you, like, take that stuff in. which means there's probably 10 times that amount of stuff that you're actually getting on the trip, right? And that those were just your first recall ones. So I think that's really important, right? Is it's not just like a story here or there. It's it sounds like it's a whole day of background, right? A whole
Yeah. And I think, you know, if I try to look through at it through a different lens too, I certainly did not have the opportunity as a 13-year-old to go and start seeing backstage and to start hearing how parks work. And this is the history of it and experience that kind of thing. It's pretty cool to be able to do that with your kids or friends or whomever, right? It's a unique experience. You can never duplicate it. You're not going to get on this non-private tour with the same group of people, right? There's not going to be an older guy on a scooter who every time you get off a ride asks the 18 or the 16-year-old brother if his older brother screamed more or less than the 13-year-old girl on the ride. Like it was, and almost always he did. The boys were scared of most of the rides. And, you know, those are just, you can't duplicate that. Those are memories that she and I are going to share that nobody else in our circle has. And we can tell the stories and that kind of thing, but that's something that's just as special about the experience as most of the other things, right? Is that this is a unique experience and it's something within reach for a lot of people to do with their friends, with their family. And just kind of have these moments you can look back and be like, that's never going to happen again. Literally, I'm never going to tour the parks again with a dude on a scooter who cracks jokes at 18-year-olds screaming at rides. Unless
Carl's
on a scooter. Well, what if Carl's on a scooter making fun of John? Maybe then I can duplicate it.
He's like an 18-year-old.
Yeah, I mean, give him maybe a year and we might have that.
A year? Jesus. A year. That's harsh.
Damn.
Brutal.
Sorry,
Nicole,
to hear what's happening, Carl.
I'm fine, thanks.
Good to know. That monorail crawl took a lot out of you.
Nicole, thank you so much. You are a rock star MVP, and you shared that rock star experience with us at Universal's Orlando Resort. We really appreciate it. Love to see you on the show again sometime. And until we do, later, dudes.
Later, dudes.
Later, dudes.
Thanks for joining us for this week's episode of Dudes Dish Disney. Please check us out on social media. On Facebook at Dudes Dish Disney. On Instagram at Dudes Dish Disney. On Twitter at Disney_Dish. Please visit our sponsor, Magic Vacations, at magicvacations.net. More than just a travel agency, Magic Vacations has over 60 Magic Vacation planners committed to bringing you white glove concierge service. Using a Magic Vacation planner allows you to spend more time making memories and less time worrying about the details. For all of your Disney, Universal, cruise, and global travel, go to magicvacations.net. Magic Vacations. Discover the magic of travel.